Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so begins another church year and another year of waiting. The true faith has always been about waiting. The Jews were waiting for the Messiah to come. And then he came, and his own did not know him. And now we know him and are waiting for him to come again. So consider this. Waiting for the Messiah is indispensable to our faith. Now there are fundamental doctrines of Christianity, and this is one of them. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Those who do not wait for Jesus to come again are not abiding in his word. They are like the foolish virgins who did not prepare by securing oil for their lamps. So how do we wait? First, we do not put our trust in this world. Second, we daily reflect upon what the day of his coming will look like, what it promises. And third, we approach him in his ministry now, so that we are ready when he approaches us in glory. So first, do not trust the world or anything in the world. All the warnings in Scripture of foolish behavior with regard to the coming have to do with a false sense of security in this life. Now, there is true security with Christ, but there is also false security, misplaced security. We create a false security when we suppress the knowledge and the activity of Satan in the world. There is a conspiracy of lawlessness. And dear Christian friends, people who live in a prosperous society often scoff at conspiracy theories and people who present them so matter-of-factly. Our tendency is to naturally abhor any information or any theory that might threaten our present feelings of safety. But I'm going to have to be a conspiracy theorist. There is an evil spirit in the world. There is an evil person at work here. He is pulling the strings of the world to make it look like everything is going fine. He is at work to disguise his activity and to train people to call good evil and to call evil good. And so to trust in this world and its trajectory is where many fall into a false sense of security. But there is true security also. God cares for his people, and he warns us to know, quote, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. The apostle warns, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power, false signs, and wonders. The knowledge of the conspiracy of Satan and his angels ought to keep you sober in this world of technology and medicine and travel and entertainment. You are not just an average person waiting for science or the government or big business to tell you what new knowledge or wonder will make your life easier or more entertaining while you wait. You are a child of the light, and heaven is your home. May the Lord grant that in the many and sundry changes of this world, we may fix our hearts where true joys may be found. Second, we wait for Christ by reflecting daily on his coming. We live in a vale of tears, in a world of temptation and insecurity. And that's not to say we never find happiness or joy, but it is a fact that temptation is always looming. It is this fact that the activity of Satan is at work to cover up. And it is this that would anesthetize our senses from anticipating the wonderful deliverance of the second coming of Christ. We all know that we're not perfect. We all know that we will die someday. But to preach or to consider that at any moment the Son of Man could return on clouds of glory and literatively and figuratively catch us unprepared is really something I rarely hear Christians talk about in polite conversation, even with one another. But the constant prayer of the church from its inception has always been, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Let us then prepare our hearts for the coming of the Messiah. He promises that nothing will remain hidden and that all will be revealed. All will be put to rights, all will come to light, and he will save his people forever. Let us prepare for the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. In the end, he will come to us. In the meantime, we come to him, and we will find with him rest for our souls. We approach the throne of grace without fear when it is within our reach to do so. Being the pastor of a small church, I'm able to keep in regular contact with most of you. I see you Sundays anyways. At my former parish, there were officially 700 plus members on the roster. And there was no way I could keep up with all of them, even the ones who came to church regularly or occasionally. In fact, most of them had either moved or lapsed long before I got there. But those who I was uncertain about, I would try and call. Sometimes they were very gracious. Some were elated, wondering why I didn't call sooner. Some were shocked. When I called and asked to meet up, they would say, "Why? Did I do something wrong?" Now, this is an analogy. God doesn't call us regularly to check up on us and ask us how we're doing. He sets a time and a place where he will be regularly for us, according to his word of promise, the church, the scriptures. He communicates with us in the scriptures, and they can be either accessed or ignored. We can pray to him whenever, but to receive his gifts and his ministry on earth, we need to go to church and consult the scriptures. That is how we keep in regular contact with him, so that we won't be shocked or scared when he comes suddenly in glory, because we have kept in touch. But those who neglect the gift of God, who ignore him on earth, will be shocked at his coming. Their consciences will accuse them the minute they see him in the clouds, and they will regret not having used the time wisely and secured an extra flask of oil for their lamps, as it were. But we call upon the Lord regularly, and we will rejoice at his coming as an answer to prayer. We approach his throne of grace, the mercy seat of his body and blood, given and shed for us. We will not be embarrassed, having spurned his sacrifices, a worthy snack of crackers and juice, but life-giving body and blood. Christ is coming. We do not ignore it. We prepare for it. Repent and believe the gospel. Call upon the name of the Lord and feed your faith in his word and sacraments. And likewise, just as the lungs must breathe to live, faith must busy itself with works of love for the neighbor. Do not concern yourselves with what to eat or drink or what to wear. The pagans chase after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, our Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then you will be prepared when his kingdom does come. When it comes to us, only not on a donkey this time, entering Jerusalem, but on magnificent clouds of glory with a myriad of angels attending. Oh, happy day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes our understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.